Al-Bayan Radio presents the following lesson live from Masjid Al-Azhar, Bilmo.
All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What I wanted to share with you is a reminder and a lesson that one learns from Surah Al-Kahf, the surah that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages each and every single Muslim to recite it on a Friday. For what I intend in this lesson is to share with you something that would remain with you for the rest of your life. Every single time you read Surah Al-Kahf on Friday, you reflect over this very short but powerful lesson. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, al-sahih, he says, anyone who memorizes the first 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf, and in another narration, anyone who memorizes the last 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf, عُصِمَ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الدَّجَّالِ, he will be given protection, ultimate protection from the fitna of a Dajjal. Now to avoid this entire discussion of first 10 or last 10, one memorizes the entire surah. Well, imagine, يعني, first 10 ayat is enough to protect you from fitna al-Dajjal. How about the one that memorizes the entire surah from beginning to end? What kind of power would this give him? And what kind of protection would it give him? What does it mean that it would protect him from fitnat al-Dajjal? Aslan, what is fitnat al-Dajjal? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the authentic hadith that there has not come a prophet except that he warned his people from fitnat al-Dajjal. Not a prophet except that he warned his people. Yani Adam alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, Shu'ayb, Salih, Ayyub, Musa, Hud, Yusuf, all of them alayhim salatu was salam, warned their people from fitnat al-Dajjal. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the last one of them, he also warned his people from fitnat al-Dajjal. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith, in yakhruj wa ana fikum fa ana hajiju, if he comes out and he emerges when I'm among you, I'll take care of him. And in yakhruj wa ana lastu fikum fa kullun hajiju nafsih, and if he was to emerge and if he was to come out in a time where I'm not longer anymore around, then everyone is supposed to take care of himself. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not let us like this without anything, he gave us Surah Al-Kahf. And he taught us that Surah Al-Kahf and the first 10 ayat of it would be enough to protect you from this huge fitna that is going to come at the end of time. But one very quick reflection on this, my brothers in Islam, if Surah Al-Kahf had enough power to protect you from the greatest fitna that would ever, ever happen on this earth, then that means it has the solution and the power to protect you from every fitna that is less than that. Fitna al-Dajjal is the greatest. Well, Surah al-Kahf is enough for it. For anything less than fitna al-Dajjal, Surah al-Kahf is an automatic solution to it. Well, this is why Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, as narrated by some of the muhaddithin, he used to recite Surah al-Kahf during the days in where the fitna between Ali radiallahu anhu and Muawiyah radiallahu anhu happened. You know, this was a serious fitna. Muslims were killing Muslims. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, being from among the great Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how is he going to deal with this fitna? For he said, I used to read Surah Al-Kahf every day, and within it, he used to learn how to deal with this fitna. He wasn't affected. He knew how to stand on his two feet and deal with what was in front of him of the fitna that happened. Well, fitna such as that fitna is a fitna in the deen. Yani, this is the greatest of all fitna. If Surah Al-Kahf had a solution for that, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu would read and recite and reflect over its lessons and its meanings, and it gave him that protection during that time, surely it has enough power for you and I to hold on to its lessons, to reflect and to memorize this surah and any fitna that comes in life. Whatever test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you with, the test of falling into debt, the test in your wealth, in your health, in your children, in your business, in your money, whatever the test is, this surah has lots and greats of solutions that one is allowed or able to have with him. Now, one of these first matters that one learns, and this I just want to share with you one of them, and it is found in the first story of Surah Al-Kahf, and that is the story of the boys that eventually sought protection at the cave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions and narrates their story to us. One matter, I don't want to say it now, I want to mention the story, and when I get to the part, then bi'ithnillahi ta'ala it will make a lot of sense when you'll figure out what this matter is. One matter that if you were to have and you always have in your mind and in your heart, then any fitna that you will come by, if it was fitna al Dajjal and anything less, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, it will give you that protection from that fitna. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's been revealed, Allah Azza wa Jal reveals to him Surah Al-Kahf. And at the beginning of Surah Al-Kahf, Allah Azza wa Jal gives us the story of the people of the cave. And the people of the cave, my brothers in Islam, let's understand that they came approximately 150 years after Isa alayhi salam. And they came at a time before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, they emerged, they existed at a time in where there was no messengers, there were no prophets, there was nothing from the guidance left, there were no mosques, there were no Salat al-Jum'ah, there were no lessons, there were no Islamic bookstores, there's no Islamic libraries, there's no Islamic colleges, there's absolutely nothing. And they remain firm on their deen. Allah Azza wa Jal gives them the guidance and they're able to hold steadfast on the deen over whatever they have of the material that was left by the last prophet, Isa alayhi salam. Well, subhanAllah, a great story that Allah makes mention and narrates in the Quran. And I just want, before we move on, just ask yourself this question. What would happen to you if all of a sudden all the mosques around the world closed down? Well, Salat al-Jum'ah was cancelled around the world. And all the Islamic colleges were to shut down, and the universities were to shut down, and all the Islamic books were burnt, and all the mashayikh were imprisoned, and all the scholars were killed, and nothing of the guidance, everything shut down, and the Islamic websites shut down. And to you and I, what would you do? What would be your state? How are you going to react? So that you understand what kind of incredible boys these people were. They emerged and they existed at a time where the environment was as such, and they still were able to hold in to their deen steadfast and strong and firm on it. What an awesome story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to mention this story and make a part of the Quran. Actually, he mentioned and he named the entire surah after their story, Surah Al-Kahf. And it is the first of the four stories that is mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, because their sacrifice in comparison to the sacrifices of the other story in the Surah Al-Kahf was the greatest of all. But do you ask yourself this question? Nahna subhanallah, one masjid shuts down and you find the people already shaking. One thing in Islam is attacked and spoken about and you find the people all of a sudden, his beard goes off and the clothing is changed, the hijab is coming off, the names have changed. Just one thing happened. Imagine the entire deen shut down. What are you going to do? What is your thought and what are you going to do? For understand how great these boys were, these men were. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, innahum fityatun. Yani their reaction to their environment, all this while they were fitya. Yani fitya between the age of 14, 15, 16, 19, up until that age, that's the age of fitya. Young men, Allah Azza wa Jal could have said, innahum amanu bi rabbihim. They believed in their Lord. But Allah Azza wa Jal makes it a point to say, innahum fityatun amanu bi rabbihim. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he mentions in his tafsir, he said that these were boys, كانوا يلبسون الحلق في آذانهم. They used to have earrings. They used to wear earrings. They were the sons of the kings and the ministers and the princes at the time. They had a whole fortune and a whole life ahead of them. They had a lifestyle. They had wealth. They had businesses. Whatever you want, they had it at their time. And even with that, as a young boy, as a يعني فتى, as a young boy, as a young man, you have two things to choose between. You have either freedom, in where go and do whatever you want, or restriction, adhere to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught you. Obviously and normally, automatically by default, a boy, a young boy, illa man rahim Allah, would love freedom. Freedom for most of the time. But these boys, even though they had this freedom that they wanted or could have taken, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that they took on restriction and they restricted themselves to that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Young boys, a group of them, they would go to a cave and they would learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ. Al-Raqim, on the most correct opinion, is that it was a stone in which their deen was engraved on. A couple of ayat, some يعني tawheed in it, was engraved in this stone, and they would read and they would review this يعني this raqim, they would review this deen of theirs, this guidance, and they would charge their iman by reading this and by meeting up with each other almost daily, as Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions in his tafsir. All of a sudden, in this town, there was a tyrant, a king that led this town. And there was a day of celebration in where each and every single member of the community was supposed to come out and celebrate. And it was a sacrifice to the idols. يعني شرك. Except these boys, in one time of these years, they did not come out to participate in this ritual and in this celebration. So some people noticed and they found out. And they went to the king and they dubbed them in. And the king got angry. So he called them and he brings them basically to court. And a proceeding goes through. And eventually at the end of it, they're judged. And the final judgment, the final decision is that these boys are supposed to be executed. And how? يَرْجُمُوكُمْ أَوْ يُعِيدُوكُمْ فِي مِلَّتِهِمْ. At the end of the story, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us how يَرْجُمُوكُمْ. يعني they were executed to death by being stoned to death. That was يعني basically the law. So now they took these boys and they put them in prison for a few days so that the process could be ended. And during those days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees that they escape this cave, they escape this prison, they run away. As they escape and they're by themselves, there is no historian there to record what they spoke among each other. There was only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overhear the conversation they spoke, and He makes it and He records it in the Quran for you and I to learn this great lesson. They're among each other. They have just escaped this prison. Behind them are these tyrants and their people and the military and the police and the security of the community, that if they were to grab them, they're going to be executed in front of everyone. And what's ahead of them? Allah Azza wa Jal tells us. They stood and they look at each other and they say, وَإِذِ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَأُوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. Listen, this is where the focus is. They said to each other, وَإِذِ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ. يعني as we run away and we disassociate ourselves from them. يعني الاعتزال, isolation and separation. When we finally separated away from them. Meaning let's keep running and let's keep walking until we don't see that town anymore. And until we don't see the authorities of that town nor any member of the community of that town. Let's keep running. So they begin to run and they begin to walk and they keep proceeding until they reach a place. And Allah says, وَإِذِ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Now a thought came to them and they said, فَأُوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. Let's go seek protection at the cave. Let's go to that cave that we used to sit together and we used to learn the deen of Allah. Let's go and sit there and يعني الله أعلم. Let's see what's going to go and what's going to happen in our life. فَأُوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. Now they get to this cave and they stand in front of this cave. And before I tell you the next words, because the next words are the lesson itself. They stand among each other and they begin to speak to each other. And I want you to be at that cave right now. Stand outside that cave. What is going to go on and what's going to happen in your mind? What kind of attitude are you going to have? What kind of thought are you going to have? What kind of state are you going to be in? Behind you, you're a fugitive of the law. If you're grabbed and you're caught, you're going straight to execution and that's the end of you. Ahead of you is a cave. يعني what's a cave? يعني الله أعلم what's inside this cave. It's dark in there, it's cold in there, it's gloomy in there, there's no lighting system inside. Whatever spider, snake, whatever it is inside there, Allahu a'lam what it is. And so you're standing outside. What am I going to eat in there? How long am I going to stay in there? And I'm scared, I'm shaking. Where am I going to sleep? What am I going to do? That's yani commonly, that's what we all be thinking. But their story is a different story. They won't be thinking like what you and I would be thinking. What they're going to think is what made their story a part of the Quran. And what the thought that came to their mind at that moment is what made their story make it in the Quran. So they stand among each other and they look at each other and they say, فَأُوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. Let's seek protection at this cave. يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. They said, يَنْشُرْ. بل جزم, يعني certainty, indeed, no doubt about it. Your Lord is going to spread from His endless ultimate mercy on you. ينشر لكم ربكم من رحمته. How can you think like that? ويهيئ لكم من أمركم مرفقا. And this amr, this state, and this affair that you're in, now the affair that they're in is very difficult. يعني behind the law's going to catch him from behind. In front of them, there's literally a brick wall in front of them now. They're in front of a cave. Where are they going to go? They said, don't worry. This affair and this matter of ours, this very difficult matter of ours, Allah is going to hayy it. He's going to mold it. He'll bend it. He'll make it flexible for us. He'll make it mirfaqa. He'll make it like a pillow. He'll bring us out of it with full ease and comfort. We don't even have to worry about anything. What is that called? You're standing in front of a stone. You've come to a dead end in your life. Behind you is the authority. You get caught, you're going to die. Yani behind you, there's death. In front of you, Allahu alam what there is. Left and right of you, you can't do anything. What is this called when you look at that situation and you say, Allah is with us and Allah is going to bestow His mercy upon us? No doubt, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that is called husnul dhanni billah. Husnul dhanni billah, having good and positive thought in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the matter, my brothers in Islam, that if one was to hold on to this matter, then at any moment in his life, when he's put in a trial and in a fitna, and he's being tested in his wealth and in his health and in his children, his business, his whatever it is he deals in life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save him. Husnul dhanni billah. The boys had husnul dhanni billah. What do you think the rest of the story is? The rest of the story is a beautiful story. How they end up in the cave and they sleep 300 years and what Allah does for them. What's all that? That is all the result of husnul dhanni billah. That is all the result of husnul dhan billah. فَيَعْنِي سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. This is their story. It begins from يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. And when you and I, if we stand at a point in life like this, what are you going to think? Sharp and jagged rock in front of you. Allahu alam, what's going to happen to me? People will start losing faith. They lose their trust and their hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these young boys, Allah puts their story in Surah Al-Kahf and in the Quran to teach us that when one has husnul dhanni billah, then even in front of the greatest fitna, and that is the fitna of a Dajjal, you'll be able to deal with it. And so every fitna that is less than that, you're able to deal with it in your life. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my brothers, in the hadith, he says, as in hadith al Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, ana 'inda dhanni 'abdi bi falyadhun bi ma sha'. I am to my slave the way he thinks about me. So think whatever you want. If you think good about Allah, wallahi, all you will see from Allah is goodness. And if you think bad about Allah, and if you doubt that Allah Azza wa Jal would be able to remove you from the stressing problem you're in, then that's exactly what's going to happen. Sometimes, sometimes people, they fear their future. They fear what's going to happen. And I don't know what will happen to my health. And he's always in fear. And he doesn't have good thought in Allah. And doesn't he become tested in his health? Later on down the track, he's tested in his health. Because he didn't have any good thought in Allah. Someone at the beginning, he always fears for his children's future. And down the track, there's a problem with his children in the future. Because you thought bad about Allah, so you earn exactly that which you thought. Subhanallah, for Allah Azza wa Jal, he tells us their story. And they entered this cave, and their heart is full of good thought in Allah, and they put their heads down to sleep. And so when you put your head down to sleep, what is the last thing you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What's that thought that you have about Allah when you sleep? When you put your head on the pillow, are you worried about what's going to happen tomorrow? Are you in fear about what is going to happen tomorrow to yourself and to your business and to your health and to your wealth and to your children? And what else you have in life? Is that how you're thinking? Look at these boys. They put their head on the pillow. يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. And because they slept on such an intention, they slept with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala full in their heart, look what happens after it is all the result and the reward of thinking good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ. Allah azza wa jal, he says, وَتَرَى, and you see. Yani it's like Allah wants you to visualize this. He's saying to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you see the sun. When it rises, the rays of it comes towards the mouth of the cave, and then the rays, it takes a bend and it goes towards the right of the cave. Yeah, now I want you to think of this. The cave, my brothers and sisters in Islam, it had two openings. It had an opening from the east and an opening from the west. And when the sun would come out, the rays of the sun would come from the east and it would hit the mouth of the cave, and then it would turn towards the right. And then when it would set, وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. And when the sun would set, تَقْرِضُهُمْ يعني من القرض, it would give them some sunlight. Why? Because the sunlight of the west, as the sun is setting, it's softer in its rays than if it was to come out from the east. Ibn Abbas, rahimahullah, he said, رضي الله عنه, Ibn Abbas, رضي الله عنه, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he bent the rays and did not allow it to enter the cave. Why? He said, لَأَحْرَقَتْ ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَبْدَانَهُمْ. Imagine 300 years plus, and the sun coming in, he said it would have burnt their clothes, and it would have burnt their bodies as well. Look at this miracle that's happening because they had husn of dhan billah. And this, over 300 years, yani how many times is the sun rising? And how many times is it setting in 300 years? 120,000 times. Yani 120,000 miracles given for people, not messengers and prophets, for normal people. Only the difference is that they had husn of dhan billah. وترى الشمس إذا طلعت تزاوروا عن كهفهم ذات اليمين وإذا غروت تقرضهم ذات الشمال. When it sets, it would give them some sunlight. العلماء رحمهم الله, they said, because the human body needs some light. It needs some light to function. So Allah Azza wa Jal would give it some sunlight when it sets. وهم في فجوة من ذلك من آيات الله. This is from the miraculous signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا. Add to that, وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ. And you would assume that they are asleep. وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ. تَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا. You would assume they are awake while they were asleep. يعني, you know what that means? When they slept those years, their eyes were open. تَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا. They were open. But really, the هُمْ رُقُودٌ, they were sleeping. العلماء رحمهم الله, they said, so the fluid in the eye doesn't dry out. Then if the fluid of the eye dries, for 300 years you've closed your eyes, you won't be able to open them again, you become blind. وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala would turn them to their left and turn them to their right. And have you ever seen someone in hospital when he's sitting in a coma for a month? What do? They bring the nurse in and she begins to turn the person left and right so that he doesn't develop bed sores. Otherwise there's a problem, then he'll lose function in his muscles and so on. So he's continuously turned left and right. Only in this case, there was no nurse. وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who turns them left and right so that they don't lose mobility and power in their muscles and their limbs. وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. Add to that, all of this because they had husn of dhan billah. وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ. And the dog they had, he had his paws, his arms extended, and he was at the mouth of the cave. بِالْوَصِيدِ, يعني at the mouth of the cave. Subhanallah, يعني even the dog was in their service. You know, when a dog has his paws out like this, and he's standing like this, he, in other words, he's in a position of defense, and he's in a position of attack. He's ready to defend his owner. فيعني subhanallah, even the dog became in their service. وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ لَوِ اطَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا وَلَا مُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says to him, if you were to see them, it never happened, no one saw them, but if you were to see them, لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا, you would have ran away from them. لَوَلَّيْتَ, actually, this is المتعدي واللازم, in other words, you would have ran and you would have made others run down as well. وَلَا مُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا, and your heart would have been full of terror and afraid and fear from them of what you saw. Imagine that, you rock up to a cave and there's paws outside and there's people inside turning left and right and their eyes are open. وَلَا مُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا. Subhanallah, and this happened for 300 plus years. You understand what this is? This was the end of their life, خلاص. They did not have time to go to their parents and to their mothers. Salaamu alaikum, we're going. They did not have to farewell anything. They had a whole life ahead of them. They had a future ahead of them. They had their wealth. They could have gotten married and children and a family. Or they could have enjoyed positions. All of this they left for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was only possible because of their husn al-dhanni billahi ta'ala. For then, after these many years, they wake up. Just like that, Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ, just like that we resurrected them. وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ, and they begin to ask one another, what happened? How long have you been in here? So they became two groups. Allah says, لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ, they became two groups, two parties. Some of them said, how long have you been in here for? So they answered, يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ, maybe a day or half a day. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, he says, they entered the cave at dhuhr time. And they woke up 300 plus years after at Asr time. So some of them thought it was between Dhuhr and Asr, a few hours. يوم أو بعض يوم. So another group said, I don't think so. قالوا ربكم أعلموا بما لبثتم. Allah only knows how long we lasted and stayed in here for. But doesn't matter. So they speak about what is concerning them right now. So they say, فَبْعَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَرِقِكُمْ مَاذِهِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا. We're hungry. Go and take this money and get us some food. Go look for أزكى طعاما. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, he said, أزكى أي أي الطعام حلالا. Can you imagine these boys? At a so difficult and stressing time, and they're still worried to eat al-halal. They're still worried to look at what is halal to consume. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا فَلْيَأْتِكُمْ بِرِزْقٍ مِّنْهُ وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ وَلَا يَشْعِرَنَّ بِكُمْ أَحَدًا. Be soft and be gentle. Go and go get us some food and come back. The man goes out. Wouldn't they imagine now he comes out, one of them, and he's walking around. Well, he sees everything is different. This building. Hada, who's up there? Hada, why is this running like this? Where's the street that I used to know? How come the shops have changed? The food menu has changed. The language of the people have changed. The currency in the people's hand have changed. So he's sort of, he doesn't know where he is. And the people realized and they saw him as well. Hada, who's this? How come he looks like that? How come his hair's like this? Why is he wearing these kind of clothes? What's this coin in his hand that we see in the museum? For there became this sort of disturbing image to the people. And they saw him, they began to walk towards him. Some of the narrations mention that he turned away and he ran to the cave, the man that came from the cave. And he began to run to the cave. He enters the cave. He sees his friends inside the cave. They had died. He enters the cave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes his soul right then and there. And then the people discover them. My brothers and sisters in Islam, they died and they died hungry. They did not eat anything. They did not put anything of this dunya in their stomach. Why? Al-ulama rahimahumullah, they said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want them to leave this dunya with anything of the dunya inside of them. They slept and their heart was full of husn of dhan billah. They slept and their heart was full of good thought and positive thought in Allah. And because they slept like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want them to leave this dunya and a bit of food in their mouth and in their stomach. For their dinner and their lunch would be on the Day of Judgment, would be in the paradise ma'an nabiyyina wa siddiqina wa shuhada. What an incredible story. Husnu dhanni billah is exactly what will make you يعني, go through these times of fitan. And this was the story of the past. يعني, hatta subhanallah, Allah azza wa jal, he tells us of al-mushrikeen, those who worship idols day and night, those who worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and call to other than Allah azza wa jal, when calamity befalls them, when tough time hits them, what Allah azza wa jal, he says, when the calamity befalls them in the ocean and when they're on the ship and the waves are coming from all over, da'aw Allah mukhlisina lahu ad-deen, they begin to have good faith in Allah and good certainty and good thought in Allah azza wa jal. And what does Allah do to them? فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ, he saves them and he rescues them. Yani in other words, anyone that fills that heart with good thought in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of tribulation, even to the disbeliever, look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did for him. He saved him from yani the trial and the tribulation that he was in. Yani we need to understand this and we need to live with this husn of dhan. Yunus alayhi salam, when he was in the belly of the whale, in three darknesses in the ocean, the darkness of the ocean, the darkness of the day, yani it was night, the darkness of the belly of the whale. He's not concerned about the whale he's in. He's not concerned about the trial he's in. He's concerned about Allah. So he says, La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. That is called husn al-dhanni billah, good thought in Allah. What happens as a result? فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And just like that, because he's good thought in Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him from the trial and the tribulation that he was in. فيعني, you need to understand, my brothers in Islam, when you're facing a difficult moment, when you're facing a brick wall in life, like Ashab al-Kahf, they faced a cave in their life. When you have no idea what to do, go ahead or go behind. When you're stuck, you're at the bottom, as it is, like Yunus alayhi salam. He reaches a bottom in his life. When you reach that darkness and that close in your life, that is when you need to have husn al-dhanni billahi azza wa jal. And wallahi, anyone who has that, huwa al-khayr biyadillah, the goodness is in Allah's hand. And the trial that you're in is only because of Allah azza wa jal decreeing that upon you. Anyone who reaches that moment in life, it is according to what kind of thought you have in Allah, is the result that will happen in your life. Good thought, good result. Bad thought, that's bima kasabat aydikum. You're the only one that brought that among you about yourself. فيعني, this is what I wanted to share with you, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Always in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one is to have يعني, husn of dhan. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Inna husn of dhanni billahi min husn al-ibadah. It's a hadith. narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anh, that having good and positive thought in Allah is from the good worship that one could do to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa final hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ مَا أُعْطِيَ عَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ شَيْئًا مِنْ حُسْنِ شَيْئًا خَيْرًا مِنْ حُسْنِ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ. He said, Wallah, a servant hasn't been given anything better than him having positive and good thought in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with husnul dhanni billah. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with certainty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make us people of the Quran, people of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Innahu waliyu thalika wal qadiru alayhi wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Support the spreading of beneficial knowledge. Donate to Al Bayan Radio today. Account name Al Bayan, Westpac BSB 032361, account number 394419. Wa jazakum Allahu khayran.